Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you could join us for the Big Red Bench on this Sunday evening. Rory O'Hagan, Tomás O'Leary here with you until 7 p.m. this evening. And we have a busy show coming your way between now and 7 o'clock. We're going to have reaction from Russell Rovers as they book their place in the AIB Junior Club Hurling Championship Final. A superb performance from them, especially in extra time as well, sees them beat Micheál Branach in Kilmallock. We'll hear from their manager Michael Mannion and their centre-back John-Paul Ivers in just a little bit. Going to hear from St Michael's, who are the Cork County Under-21 Football Champions for the first time since 1976 after they beat Ballincollig. Going to talk to Spike O'Sullivan as he prepares to return to action in Texas next week. And we'll talk to Cork City boss Neil Fenn as pre-season gets underway for the Rebel Army. We'll talk about his new signings, potential new signings, and plenty more besides. You're listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. Alright, glad you could join us on this Sunday evening. We're here until 7 o'clock. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can text us 086 810 4106. You can tweet us as well at Big Red Bench. Delighted to be joined by former Ireland and Munster scrum half Tomás O'Leary, who we've let back in for a second day.
Yeah, good to be back with you, Rory.
It was give or take there for a while, and then you just kind of turned up and it was like, alright, we'd better leave man there. So
yeah, I kind of had a hard night thinking whether I'd come back to you, but you were okay yesterday, to be fair to
Yeah,
you.
Sorry, no, we didn't have the Rocky music for you today, but that was a one-time only deal. But we're here until 7 o'clock tonight. If you want to get in touch, if you have any questions for Tomás, get in touch with us. 086-8104-106. We are going to start the show with Russell Rovers in just a bit. Going to hear from Michael Mannion. But first, Tomás going to wrap up all the day's action.
Thanks, Rory. Obviously, Russell Rovers, we'll begin with them. So they've booked their place in the AIB Junior Club All-Ireland Hurling Championship Final this afternoon. Cork champions have beaten Micheál Branach in Kilmallock. 126-115 is how it finished there after extra time. So they'll now face Conaghaidh Shamrocks in the final. I know you were watching that game.
Yeah, it was it was heart and mouth stuff at the end because they were trailing by a point. There was 4 minutes of time added on. Going into, like, at the end of the game, they were trailing by a point. Micheál Branach got a goal and put them 2 points up, they got another point. And then, literally the last puck of the game, Bud Hartnett puts a free over from a really tight angle over on the left hand touchline to force it to extra time. And I know what Michael Mannion said to them in the break there between the normal time and extra time, because they came out like men possessed, kept their opponents scoreless. On the way to a big win there, an 11 point win. Fantastic stuff from them. We'll hear from them in a bit, but it was a superb performance in extra time for them today.
Yeah, I imagine in a couple of weeks time, so East Cork is going to be a barren place. Yes. Obviously neighbouring parish Father Neil's into the intermediate final.
Yeah,
as well
Saturday
so.
Week those two games will be taking place, and no confirmed throw in times for there, but yeah, there won't be a sinner left in East Cork on Saturday week.
And also in the GA today, defending champions Ballyhale Shamrocks earned their 9th AB All-Ireland Senior Hurling Club final with Henry Shefflin's Kilkenny outfit. They defeated Derry champions Loch Neil in Newry. 224-219 was the final score there. So they'll face Barsley of Tipperary in the final. They defeated St Thomas 121-114, being the final score there. So they're the first Tipperary side to qualify for the Ireland Senior Hurling Final in 26 years. It's a pretty surprising stat. I didn't realise it was that long.
Yeah, and we were kind of watching a bit of it today. It was kind of back and forth today. And I watched a bit of the Ballyhale Shamrock games. Loch Neil really put it up to Ballyhale Shamrocks there. They were only a point down going into 60 minutes, just pulled away at the end of it. Shamrocks did. But it was a fantastic performance from the Derry champions today, but absolutely fantastic stuff.
Yeah, so your Kilkenny and tip final, that'll be an interesting one anyway.
No quarter asked for there. It's
exactly. And locally then, for the first time since 1976, St Michael's are the Cork under-21 football champions. They defeated Ballincollig this afternoon in the 4G pitch in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. 212-111 is how that finished.
Yeah, it was a fantastic performance from Michael's. Going to hear from their manager, Dave Egan. Really, really a passionate interview from Dave. We'll hear from that in a little bit as well.
Looking forward to that. So in the FA Cup, Liverpool have just beaten Everton in the third round of the FA Cup, and Curtis Jones' cracking goal there in the second half was the difference between the sides.
That was an absolute beauty. We're going to get a report from that game. Shane Pennington was at Anfield today.
Liverpool 1, Everton 0. Despite making 9 changes to their side, Liverpool still become victorious in the FA Cup to reach the fourth round. One goal was enough to win the game. That came from youngster Curtis Jones picking up the ball on the left-hand side and cutting in before bending a 20-yard curler into the top right corner. Everton had earlier on missed good chances. Holgate headed straight to Adrian from a Sigurdsson free kick. And right on half time, another good chance for Richarlison. So another good save from Adrian. The Sheridan club side who progressed. It's Liverpool 1, Everton 0.
Yeah, I mean, like, Liverpool with their kids today, Everton had a fairly strong side out, so Everton are going to be mightily disappointed with that result today. But that goal from Curtis Jones was something sensational altogether, wasn't it?
Yeah, an unbelievable strike. Obviously, kind of played a 1-2, controlled it really well, and then so the outside of his right foot curled it into the top beautiful. Corner off the crossbar.
Yeah, just Jordan Pickford just couldn't get his hand to it. It was a sensational goal, and he's a lifelong Liverpool fan as well, Curtis Jones, so I can imagine how special that moment was for him today.
Yeah, elsewhere in the afternoon games, Bristol Rovers and Coventry City played out a 2-2 draw. Northampton Town beat Burton Albion 4-2, while West Brom beat Charlton Athletic 1-0. Chelsea beat Nottingham Forest 2-0. Barnsley enjoyed a 2-1 victory over Crewe Alexandra, and Republic of Ireland's Paul Green got in the score sheet there. There was a shock in Sellers Park, where Derby County beat 10-man Crystal Palace 1-0. Palace captain Luka Milivojevic, that's hard to say,
close enough.
was shown a red card for violent conduct. Referee Michael Oliver consulted the VAR pitch side monitor and upgraded his yellow card to red.
Yeah, I think that's the first time referees use a pitch side monitor in that situation, which you'd like to see a bit more of, as opposed to guys with protractors and dots measuring, like, if someone's ankle is offside.
Yeah, it's handy to use it for something a bit more blatant anyway. an Irish international, Troy Parrott, didn't unfortunately feature for Spurs against Middlesbrough at the Riverside, where it finished 1-1. QPR beat Swansea 5-1, and Sheffield United beat AFC Wild 2-1, with Ireland's Callum Robinson scoring the first for the Blades. This evening, Gillingham hosts West Ham just after 6 o'clock for David Moyes' second game in charge of the Irons.
Yeah, that game is getting underway in about 10 minutes' time, just after quarter past 6, a minute past quarter past 6. All the games in the FA Cup this weekend kicking off a minute later than their normal time, to encourage people to take a minute to think about their mental health, which has been a fantastic campaign all weekend.
And back to local matters, where in the Munster Senior League this morning, Ringhamahan Rangers defeated UCC by 2-1. And the FIA Junior Cup fifth round, Dolan's Cowbar of the Cork Business League defeated Valeview Shankill by 3-2. They're at home to Westport United in round 6.
They're certainly moving in the right direction there, Doolan's Co.
It's terrible.
Let's move on.
Sorry about that. NFL, Tom Brady says he's unlikely to have played for the Patriots for the final time, even after the New Englanders were knocked out of the NFL playoffs last night. The defending champions went down 20 points to 13 to the Tennessee Titans in the AFC wildcard game in Foxborough. This is what he said afterwards.
Do you have a sense of whether you'll be back with the Patriots in 2020, and do you want to be back with the Patriots in 2020?
I love the Patriots. I mean, they obviously, you know, they got the greatest organization, and, you know, playing for Mr. Kraft all these years, and for Coach Belichick, I mean, there's nobody who's had a better career, I would say, than me, and it's just being with them. So I'm very blessed, and I don't know what the future looks like, so I'm not going to predict it. So I wish we'd have won tonight, and wish we'd done a lot of things better over the course of the season, but we just didn't get the job done.
Yeah, so Brady is 42 now, Tomas. He's a free agent now for the first time in his career. He obviously sounds like he wants to stay with the Patriots for next season. But this is the first time, I think, since 2009, the Patriots haven't made the postseason. A lot of people, I suppose, assume, because he is 42, the edge he's at, and the way the season has ended, that could be his last game.
Yeah, look, I suppose there's been a lot of criticism around his, some of his performances this season. I wouldn't be the biggest NFL, I suppose, fan, or not. I wouldn't have much knowledge on it, but I read a bit about it. I know he's a big advocate of, I suppose, his health regime.
And he's on a vegan diet.
Vegan diet, exactly. Look, he's physically, I think he's probably capable of continuing to play, which is phenomenal for, as I said, 42, going on to 43 next year.
One of the greatest sports stars of all time.
Absolutely, his record speaks for itself. And look, there's going to be barren seasons for all sports people. So yeah, I'd probably back him to get another gig if the Patriots don't keep him on. But look, what he's done for the Patriots, I think they'll keep him till he wants to pack it in.
Well, his coach Bill Belichick is saying that they haven't really thought about it yet, and remains to be seen what will happen next year. But it'd be a shock really if he didn't stay with the Patriots for next season.
Absolutely. Elsewhere, there was a dramatic 22-19 overtime win for the Houston Texans over the visiting Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I was watching that. That was absolutely, there's nothing quite like the NFL when it comes to drama, like last minute field goals to force overtime, and then that field goal to win it. Brilliant stuff. And just, I was enthralled for the part of the game I watched, but the last hour of that, absolutely brilliant stuff last night.
Good stuff. And Cork's John O'Shea begins his BDO World's Darts Championships campaign today. The 2019 Masters Champion faces Sweden's Andreas Harrison at the O2 in London from 7 p.m. this evening.
Yeah, best luck to the Joker tonight. He's been with us a couple of times and fingers crossed he can get the win tonight, 7 o'clock-ish. I think he's first up on that as well at their new venue of the Indigo at the O2. It's been moved from Lakeside for the first time, which didn't go down well, and it didn't go down well with punters either because they only sold 15% of tickets for the event. Prize money had to be slashed by 60% as a result, so you wonder would it be back in Lakeside next year.
Yeah, that's crazy really. It's going to be hard to attract I suppose the players to go as well.
Lakeside was always the place, like, you know what I mean? It was always like, you know, you'd have the PDC World Arts Championship, then you'd have Lakeside. It's just not the same, I don't think, in the Indigo.
No, it doesn't look, when you ever change a venue like that with the history and behind it, like it's never quite the same. Yeah. So look, see what they do next year.
All right, we're going to start the show by talking about Russell Rovers, who are into the All-Ireland final, as Tomás mentioned. The East Cork side defeating Micheál Burnock in Kilmallock, 126-115 is how it finished after extra time. They now face Conaghan Shamrocks in the final. Rovers trail by a point at the end of normal time, but Hartnett scoring with a free with the last puck of the game to bring it to extra time, and then Rovers dominated, keeping their opponents scoreless. Their manager Michael Mannion spoke to our reporter Kieran Murphy after the game.
Look, it's fantastic, you know, to win the match, to go 2 points down in injury time and come back, bring it to extra time. It's fantastic. Fantastic day for the club. Delighted for the players that we get a day out in Croke Park. Like, that's any player's dream.
And missing, of course, Josh was out, but didn't falter. He pushed on.
Yeah, look, he's a big loss, but at the same time, you know, we have a squad there. We've used 21 players throughout the year. You know, we've full faith in them. You know, I think any senior team would miss Josh, but at the same time, Daniel O'Brien came in. He'd done a good job, so we're delighted. And, you know, Bud stepped up for the frees. Other lads got scores, and that's what the team is about.
Speaking of the frees, that pressure free team, but to bring it extra time, what score it was?
Yeah, she was brilliant over in the corner. But look, as I said, Bud's a Cork minor free taker back in the day. You know, he's top class as well, and you know, it's about the process. Don't think about the result, and Bud's done that all day, and he got a few frees, you know, so brilliant.
Yeah, and during the extra time period, not to concede a score, that was absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, I think we got a dream start, we got an early goal, and then we just drove on. Like, having Kieran Welsh come back on made a big difference, big presence in midfield. It was brilliant. We made a few tactical changes as well, so very good. We're delighted.
Yeah, the celebration's going to be continuing in East Cork, and hopefully it'll continue again in 13 days' time when they go to Croke Park to face Conaghan Shamrocks in the final. But they now have 2 weeks to prepare tomorrow for an All-Ireland final. How hard is it, I suppose, to not lose your focus going into that game and kind of keep your feet on the ground going into something like that?
Yeah, look, it's probably tough, but I think it's, like you hear the lads say, it's anyone's dream to play in a club final, and it's generally it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. So I think you have to embrace it and you have to enjoy it. And obviously you'll go down to East Cork, and you know the both parishes, neighbouring parishes, will be the flags up, the bunting up, and you know that'll be the only thing that anyone will talk about down there. So I think you just have to embrace that. Obviously there is a game to play, and he talked about the process there, which is important. But look, enjoy. I think you have to enjoy it, soak it up, and then once you're on the field, it just takes care of itself.
You were into All-Ireland finals as a minor with Cork. I mean, like, how did you stay for? I mean, like, you were obviously a lot younger. Like, man, you were like 16, 17 then, weren't you?
Yeah.
So how did you, like, stay focused and not kind of, like, get distracted by everyone coming up to you and wishing you well and all that kind of thing?
It was hard. Look, actually, the first year, remember we were sponsored by ESET Digifone at the time.
Yeah.
And the first year we got handed, I didn't have a mobile phone, and we got handed mobile phones on the way up in 2000.
Yeah.
So we were all texting each other and whatever. Then all the only numbers I had in the phone were, I think, my mum's and all the other players. So I don't know, that's not the reason we lost the game, but I think some games back then, I probably would have been more focused. Others, like you said, I was young, I was learning about my preparation and stuff. But yeah, look, I think it's just a case of embracing and having the confidence that you've training done and you've the abilities to win a game with your performance. So look, they've got this far, and I think augurs well for the final. They did, I must actually they beat us in the quarterfinal of the East Cork Junior Hurling Championship last year. They robbed us in the last minute, so it could have been us in the junior final, but obviously we wouldn't be allowed to represent Cork given that we're a senior side. But look, great, good luck to Russell Rovers, and it's fantastic for the club.
I'm going
to
hear from their centre back, John Paul Ivers.
I'm joined now by John Paul Ivers, the centre back of Russell Rovers today, and what feeling is to reach an All Ireland final?
Unbelievable. We've just trained really hard all year. This is exactly what we wanted, and we had a serious battle there today, and we just stuck with it. Even when they went a couple of points up, we really stuck with it, and it's a credit to all the lads. They're a serious bunch. It's an honour to be playing with them, and we're delighted now, and we get down to business now during the week preparing for the All-Ireland final.
And going to extra time there, after conceding the last couple of points of the normal time for Bud brought to extra time, what ability he had to drive it on?
Yeah, I suppose in the East Cork Championship we had really close games as well, and I suppose that stood to us. There's serious metal in the team, you know, and the management team is superb. They have us well drilled, and I suppose it showed there today, didn't, you know, when the chips were down, we came back and we drove on, you know.
And for such a small area like Russell Rovers, and then to have your neighbours as well, Father O'Neill, for a double header up in Croke Park, what an achievement that is.
Without a doubt, chat, Father O'Neill's a fantastic club as well, you know, and it's great for the area, great for the community around that such clubs in the same area are actually true now to the All Ireland finals. It's unbelievable. So we'll enjoy now. I suppose we'll enjoy tonight for a bit, and we get down to business tomorrow again or the day after for the Ireland final.
Well, congratulations, John Paul Ivers.
Yeah, congratulations to John Paul Ivers there, and indeed everyone involved with Russell Rovers. I'd imagine every single person from the town will be going up, or from the village will be going up to Croke Park, and all the Father O'Neill's crew will be going up as well, and you'd imagine both clubs are going to be supporting each other on the day as well, which would be a massive help for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it'd be probably a shame if one of them won and lost, would give it a downer. So look, obviously two local East Cork teams, it'd be unbelievable for them to come back with two All-Ireland titles, and just be massive for Cork hurling as well.
Yeah, fingers crossed both sides can win, obviously. Next Saturday, of course, we will be there, and we'll have reaction from both games on Saturday week in the All-Ireland final. And best of luck to the lads in their preparation ahead of the final coming up on Saturday week. Alright, locally, as we mentioned at the top of the show, for the first time since 1976, St Michael's are the Cork County Under-21 Football Champions. They defeated Bank Holly this afternoon on the 4G pitch in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. 2-12-1-11 is how that finished. Andrew Horgan was there for us. He spoke to boss Dave Egan.
Dave, 1976, I just checked since she last won it. Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of heartbreak in St Michael's in the intermediate grade over the years.
The heartbreak, all you want. We're not looking back. We're looking forward. We're in the under 15 county final this year. We're in an under 16 county final this year. Our minors weren't as fortunate. We've won an under 21. We've won a city junior B. We've won a county junior B. We've won a city under junior A. And we got to an intermediate county final. I'm not looking back. These boys are 100% looking forward, John. And we're not here to talk about disappointments in 1976. We're going to enjoy this. And we're not going to be looking forward in this club from here on in.
Yeah. I suppose, looking at the game, we just went to the guys. It was a fantastic game of football, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was brilliant. Listen, Ballincollig, super outfit. That's Cork have won a minor, and Cork have won an under 20, and we're here at under 21 level, and we're after doing that, showing that for, I suppose, the whatever the word is, the showcase of under 21 football. It's no wonder Cork are Ireland champions, both minor and 20. The talent here, boys, been in this county, and these boys have to start believing in themselves no more than Ballincollig. Look, brilliant game of football, brilliant set of, brilliant, everything's brilliant. I'm just, to be honest, lads, I don't know what I'm talking about here.
Well, I know that, but can I say, do you think that you can push on to compete at senior level?
Oh, I've no doubts.
This group of players.
I've no doubts. They're football mad, they're hurling mad, they're GAA mad, they live for it, they actually live for it. Every night you go down to the hurling club, they're down pucking the ball off the wall. If we're down in Mahon, they're kicking the ball off the wall. They're a dress, Ty Deasy, our centre forward today, that's his 10th game since the 1st of December. Most lads will be talking about burnout and talking about this and talking about that. Ty Deasy just wants to play a ball. There's no complaints from him. That's the group we have, and that's the level of man we're dealing with in the club. Do you know what I mean? It's brilliant. And long may it last.
It's going to be a good night for you.
We're going to have two or three brilliant nights, and I won't lie to you. Boys, we had a Christmas period there, and I'd say there was a lot of people ready to put a gun to my head. I said, lads, go and enjoy your Christmas, your family home. if there's a pint on the table, drink it. I wasn't holding back. They're 21, 22 years, or 19, 20, 21, 20, 20 years of age. Go and enjoy yourselves. We met up three times over the Christmas and we had three games. You don't have to kill lads with football. You don't have to be killing lads with rules and regulations. They're young men coming into their adulthood. They looked after themselves over the Christmas. And I suppose we leave the Christmas tree up in the club for another few nights, Dan. Thanks very much, lads.
Just in terms of the match itself, do you think it was a deserved win for you as well?
To be honest, I do. I thought right from the word go, we got the first goal. We kept at it. We didn't, I'd be lying if I said we deviated from the game plan. Our game plan's fast moving football. We slowed it down in patches, but the intensity of the game, I think it's very hard to do that for 60 minutes. But I must give credit to the bench. We brought on four substitutions today, and I could have brought on 10. We have them on the bench as well, you know, and they're there for under 21. You know, they're there for the under 21 championship, which starts in 6 weeks' time.
And just in terms of yourself, we saw you tearing up and down the line.
Yeah, listen, I lost the plot.
Personally.
Lost the plot. I'm not like that, I don't know.
Look, but it just shows how much it means to you.
It does, because definitely is what he's put in.
Yeah, it's Dave Egan there of St. Michael speaking after their win today, the under 21 football championship. Going down to Blackrock for the first time since 1976 after that win today. That's probably going to be my interview of the year for 2020, I should say. Just the honesty, the passion of him, and just like the sheer emotion of it is something else, isn't it?
Yeah, look, that's what the Jay is about. And you see the passion he has for the club and the lads he's coaching. He must be in line for a Cork senior position in a couple of years' time. We must start the campaign to get Dave Egan in there. But look, very entertaining interview, and that's what it's about. And look, obviously the young fellas, he translates that passion onto them, and it's important that the coaches do that.
Refreshing as well to hear him there that he didn't kill the lads over Christmas, let them enjoy their Christmas and just come back. He trusted the lads enough that they weren't going to come back in bad shape ahead of the game, and which is really refreshing to hear.
Yeah, look, I think the Jay, to be fair, a lot of the coaches and teams are a lot more balanced maybe than they were 5-6 years ago, where there was drinking bans and all that kind of crack. Look, you know, the commitment is savage for all these young fellas and adults playing the game, so you got to let them let their hair down. And like you said, you know, if you treat them like children, they'll act like children.
Yeah.
So, you know, give them the chance to enjoy themselves and make their own mistakes if they do make them.
Now we're going to hear now from the goal scorer, Alan Connolly, who's speaking to Andrew.
That's Alan. How does it feel to win the cup? It's amazing. Like, we had a tough few years, like losing those intermediate finals. It's just good to get them back. Like, you know, we won the minor last year, and just, like, you know, kind of seals it. Like, you know,
you mentioned all the cups there that you've won recently shows that the club's going in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely. Like, hopefully, a few years now we can just drive on and get to senior level and be junior senior. Like, that's the goal. Like, we've come so close. Like, but you know, I think we have definitely the future. Yeah, the future's bright.
In terms of this game as well, do you think it was a deserved win, or what were your thoughts on the game as a whole?
100%, yeah. Like, we've put in serious effort. Like, we're training 7 in the morning some days, like, you know, it just means everything to us. Like, we're in January, like, yeah. It's a new season. Like, we're still playing football. Like, it's just a great feeling, like, unbelievable.
Next, I spoke to the manager, Dave Egan. There, you mentioned that you were training a few times over Christmas as well,
yeah.
So it shows the commitment to win this tournament.
Yeah, like, sure. Like, I mean, obviously, we love to play before Christmas, but, like, you know, we don't mind, like, for love playing our football, we love playing Ireland, so it's good to win stuff, isn't it?
And in terms of the game as well, you won by 4 points. Also, your two goals were crucial. What do you remember from?
They're probably two of the biggest flukes I've ever got in my life. I think, the lads did the hard work, I suppose. I just got the rebound, really. That was it.
So, you've the number 17 jersey on, so you weren't on the programme. When did you find out you were starting?
I didn't have a starting jersey at all for the quarterfinal or something. I was starting that as well. And I knew I was starting, but, like, you know, like, that's it.
So, what does it mean to come in then and score the two goals?
Surreal, really. Like, I don't really expect, I don't really score like that much. I'll be the main shooter on the team. Like, I'll be lucky, I suppose.
Perfect. So, you're the match winner today. What does it mean to yourself, and what does it mean to the club as a whole, this win?
It means everything, because I was part of the minor team as well last year, as part of the junior B team, the one that came to this year. So, you know, like, as long as we can drive it on and keep going, I don't mind at all. As long as we're winning, I don't care.
That's Alan Connolly there, finding the net today for St. Michael's as they beat Ballincollig 2-12-1-11 to win the Cork County Under 21 Football Championship. And just the honesty there. Was.
Yeah,
just
look,
like, brilliant.
That's kind of the raw emotion of it.
Yeah.
You don't get that watching professional sport, bar maybe when they win a Champions Cup final or a league final or whatever it is. It's kind of end of the season, but you know, you chat to the lads after local GA games, and it all comes out. And like I said, they're probably less media savvy, media trained, so they, you know, they say what they're genuinely feeling, and it's just pure honesty. So look, it's from a media point of view, it's unbelievably refreshing to hear.
All right, we're going to change tack now and talk boxing. So our buddy Spike O'Sullivan is back in action next week. Spike facing the unbeaten 23-year-old Mexican Jamie Munguia in the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, Texas on Saturday night. Munguia is the former WBO light middleweight champion. He moves up to 160 pounds for the first time in his career. He has a very formidable record of 27 knockouts from 34 wins. I spoke to Spike earlier on today.
Too long here, mate.
Cool.
All right, it's a big week for our good buddy Spike O'Sullivan, who joins us on the live now, live from Boston. Spike, how are you?
Great, Ronnie, yourself?
I'm good, sir. This is a big, big fight next week. How has training camp gone?
Yeah, it's gone very well. I'm just finishing off preparations here in Boston. Feeling good, feeling strong, feeling ready, and it's a big fight, it's the biggest of my career, it's going to be a tough one. I'm up against an undefeated world champion, he's 12 years my junior, so it's going to be a tough challenge, but it's going to look forward to it.
Yeah, you're taking on Jimmy Munguia next week in Texas, 12 round showdown there as well. What can you tell us about him?
Well, he's an undefeated world champion, he's 34 fights, 34 wins, 27 knockouts, never tasted the canvas yet. For me to win, he'd have to be knocked out. So, it's basically in his backyard. It's on the Mexican border in San Antonio, Texas. He's the golden boy. They're lining up the next Canelo. And I don't think myself can point victory, even if I was to appoint him. I don't think they'd give me the decision. So, I'd be looking for a knockout. But that's a while I don't even. So, it's going to be exciting.
How does, stylistically, champ, how does he compare to you?
He's got a lot of range, a lot of height. He's a bigger man, but he's also a knockout artist, and he's got 27 knockouts in the 34 fights. He's a pretty much complete fighter. He's got a complete style, good boxer and knockout artist as well. He's good, very good.
We saw Dennis Hogan take him on recently. A lot of people suggested that Dennis Hogan was robbed in that fight. Watching that back, is that the kind of blueprint to beat Munguia next week?
Well, I don't think so for me, because we're different styles, me and Dennis. Dennis moves her up both a lot and tries to appoint guys, whereas I come for the knockout. I think that's a necessity against Munguia anyway, if I'd have knocked him out or been knocked out, because you know what I'm saying, if it was a point decision, Dennis Hogan, the very close fight with him, and if we're in Ireland or maybe anywhere else, it was in Mexico, and Dennis very well got the decision. But realistically, it's going to be very tough to get the decision. He's brings in millions in revenue with the Mexican box support, TV channels in America. He's very well followed, and you're up against it that way, and he's the champion, so he's got to get the knockout realistically. I don't think I'll box him in the same kind of style as Dennis. I'll be up for the knockout. I won't be even trying to appoint.
Did that Dennis Hogan performance though last year kind of show you that Munguia isn't invincible and that he can be got at?
Absolutely. It does indeed. But I believe nobody's invincible. I thought one time I was invincible myself, just naively. I've been knocked down and knocked out and all that rest. You see like Mike Tyson getting knocked out before, anybody can beat. I always went to every fight believing that there was a chance of victory.
Do you think Munguia is probably looking past you a little bit heading into this fight?
I think so. I think he could very well be. I hope he is. I've been beaten 3 times, but I've only been beaten by 3 world champions, so I don't think he's going to take me too lately. But I think he's looking toward Canelo maybe next month.
You've never fought in Texas before, champ, have you?
No, I've never did. No. I fought all around America. I fought in Vegas, LA, New York, Boston, New Hampshire, but I've never fought in Texas. No. I thought it was going to be no hostile environment for me for the Mexicans, but nothing that appeals to me, and I'm looking forward to the challenge.
Yeah, you'll still have a bit of an Irish support there. I see a lot of people on Twitter saying they're going to travel down for the fight, and a lot of Americans saying they'll be supporting you as well. So there'll still be a big pro Spike crowd there next weekend.
There's a lot coming from Boston, actually, and there's a lot coming from Cork as well, and around the country. It's great. I'm getting a lot of messages from Irish support, so and Dave O'Connor from Suit Distributors, so his son is after organising a bus there in Boston, or sorry, in Texas. He lives in Texas. So.
Yeah.
Great, like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what's the plan now for the rest of the week?
Yeah, just, staying sharp in the gym and making weight. And then we're going to travel down to, take a flight from Boston down to Texas on Tuesday.
Mm. He's stepping up in weight as well. Is that going to be a factor heading into the fight, you think?
I think it could be a good thing for him because he struggled to make light middleweight and he's only 23, so I think he was outgrowing the weight and he was struggling and it was making him weak to make that weight. I recently stepped down to light middleweight myself, so I think it should maybe an advantage to him. He's a bigger man than me, you know, and it's going to make it easier for him to make the weight, but I've purposely kept my weight heavy myself for this fight to time.
All right, champ. I'm going to leave it there. Come here. I won't wish you best luck because you don't need it next weekend, man. But stay safe and we'll chat to you afterwards.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, great to chat to Spike O'Sullivan. Apologies about the quality of the audio in that interview. We phoned him up, woke him up from his bed in Boston this morning to chat to him. With our thanks to Spike for taking the call ahead of next week's fight in Texas. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, going to talk to Cork City boss Neil Finn.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Corey O'Hagan, Tomás O'Leary here with you until 7 p.m. this evening. It was great to chat to Spike there. Big, big fight for him next week, Tomás. And fingers crossed he can do it, but this kid, Jimmy Mungay, is really, really good.
Yeah, absolutely. Even listening to Spike there, it sounds like he's up against it. Like, as he said, 12 years his junior. He had 27 knockouts. He's a bigger man. He had bigger reach. Sounds like it's stacked against him. But look, as you know, Spike has had the odd upset in his career, and he's a tough, durable, confident fighter.
Think of Antoine Douglas 2 years ago, when he kind of that was a bit of a shock when he knocked him out. Like, so fingers crossed he can do that again next time.
It'll be unbelievable for a local Corkite to be the world champion.
And I'll be staying up Saturday night to watch that fight as well. So fingers crossed.
Tell us about your boxing career, actually, Rory.
It wasn't very prestigious. I fought twice, won once, got the tar beaten out of me the second time. And after which I retired. He beat me good looking. That's how badly he beat me the second time.
Any big pay packets or anything?
No, God, no. It was all good fun. But it was genuinely the greatest experience I've ever had, was stepping into that ring the couple of times I did it. I was with a boxing gym called the Boxing Clinic at the time, and we just did boxing events. And it was just like the best experience, the greatest rush I've ever had was stepping through the ropes and fighting and boxing, and just even getting fit from boxing as well was something else. The fitness levels I had from boxing was amazing. I'd love to do it again. Whether or not my wife will let me, massively different story.
Good stuff.
Right, we're going to talk Cork City now, because I sat down with our Cork City boss Neil Fenn. City back in pre-season training the last couple of days, so Neil calling to me to talk about his potential new signings, aims for the season ahead and more. Delighted to be joined by Cork City boss Neil Fenn in studio. Neil, how are you, sir?
Yeah, good, Rory, pleasure to be here.
How was your Christmas?
Very good. Yeah. Nice and quiet with the family. Yeah. Nothing too mad.
Recharged, ready to go for the new season.
Yeah,
so.
Ready to go, excited about the season, so yeah, looking forward to it.
Back in pre-season as well.
Yeah, we came. It's Saturday today, so we came back on. We came back Thursday, so done three solid days. So it's been good.
Yeah, it must be the delight to get back on the training pitch, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it's a long break, and it's what you enjoy the most is being out on the training pitch. And obviously, I didn't enjoy pre-season at all as a player.
Yeah,
but as a manager, I quite like it.
I'd imagine it's changed a bit though since your days pre-season, is it? It's not so much running laps at Bishopstown anymore, is it?
Oh well, even in my years ago when I first started. You know, you didn't do anything in the off season. The players just came back, and pre-season was your time to get fit. Now they're given programs and given off season programs, so they're coming back in good shape, and you're just topping it up, really.
So there's no 10 laps around Bishopstown in the freezing.
No. Well, it's tough. Well. It's tough. Don't get me wrong. Certainly won't be running 10 laps or anything, but it's tough. That's not to say it's easy, but because they have been off a good bit, but you know they've been doing little bits in off their own on their own program. So, and obviously Joe Gamble is in now, and he's big into the fitness.
Is he looking after all the strength and conditioning stuff?
Yeah, he's looking after all the fitness work, and I mean, it's together, but he would know more about it than me. and we've got the, you know, the GPS, the stat sport stuff in as well that gives us good information as well. So, you know, there's no hiding place.
Certainly isn't. 6 weeks now to go to the start of the season, so you've got 6 weeks to kind of get everyone up to speed and what you want to play and how you want them to play, I guess.
Yeah, it is 6 weeks. Obviously, during that 6 weeks, you're going to be, players are going to be coming in and out and you're going to be getting lads on trial. So, it's not ideal the way the squad is. Obviously, you know, we're building, so we need to build from scratch, more or less. There's not that many players left here from last year, you know, the more experienced ones. So it'd be a case of, it won't be perfect straight away because we'll be getting lads that will be joining us quite late, probably looking at it at this stage of the season. But by, you know, the second or third week of the season, you'd be more or less, that's your settled squad and that's how you're going to be going.
And I suppose the key is, I suppose, that blend of youth, experience and kind of like seasoned professionals, I suppose, coming in.
Yeah, it is tough bringing in seasoned professionals. It is, it's hard to attract to certain type of player to where we are at the moment. So we're going to be quite young, but we'll have a few experienced boys already here. Obviously, Grove Morrissey being the most obvious one, and fortunately Alan Bennett and Mark Minolti are going to be back in, and they're going to be helping out with the coaching as well. So we're going to have a good bit of experience, but we'll be some good young exciting players too.
And to have the likes, I suppose, of Mark and Alan in the dressing room is a massive help for you, I suppose, and giving the advice to the younger players.
Yeah, you have to have experience in a squad, you know, just for standards and keeping it up. And because a lot of the boys, it's their first time, they're going to be full time training, they don't know they don't know how to behave and what's expected. We can tell them, but obviously they're young, they're going to be slipping every now and again. So to have the two boys in, just keeping control of things as well in the dressing room, but obviously they're coaches as well. So, you know, Knowles the other day didn't know what dressing room to go in. Was he a player or was he a coach? So he'll be floating in and out, and the same with Benno. So no, it's brilliant. It's really good to have them two back, and obviously with Garode's probably the oldest one there now, who'll be keeping an eye on things as well.
Seems weird saying Garode Morris is the oldest player, like, isn't it?
He's 27, 28, yeah. So he's not even that old, but you know, he's been around the block and he knows his way around.
Yeah. You've brought in a number of players, can you talk us through them?
Okay, so where are we at? We're at, obviously, Dylan McGlade is the first one I can think of that, you know, I worked with him at Longford, would have liked to have signed him back when I was at Longford, but I couldn't keep him, and he went to Bray and had another good season last year, got in double figures in the first division. Would have been known to Cork fans from when we played City last year or the year before, when big things were expected of him, and it didn't turn out like that. We got well beaten on the night and he didn't play well, but so some people might look at that and think, you know, he's not as what everyone was built up to be, but he is a very good player, very exciting, will excite people when he gets the ball, an attacking minded player, which is exactly what we want. So we're really looking forward to having him in. He's not in yet, but he's coming back from England. We've got Connor Davis, a lad who, again, I would have known from playing against him a couple of years ago. He was at UCD. Really liked him then. Found out he was available from Derry. Hasn't really played that much. Lost his way a little bit, but we're excited again to get him back on, to hopefully get him back on track. Corey Galvin has come in, who did well last year in spurts for Waterford. Joe spoke highly of him. A Cork boy, obviously, so that was a bit of a no-brainer. Kian Coleman, again, a big
lad.
Big centre midfielder who probably shouldn't have left City in the first place, could have possibly been a player here for the last three or four years, but he's back. Really looking forward to having him on board. So I'm probably Charlie Fleming is coming from Cove, a fit young lad, wants to learn, eager to learn, still has a lot to learn, but you know, will be, you know, a good asset to the club in terms of his fitness and in terms of his tenacity into tackles and his his attacking play as well is decent. I'm sure I'm missing one or two out here, am I?
Goalkeeper.
Oh, Liam Bossin is a lad again. He's not in yet. He's coming in on Monday, coming from Belgium. A lad who I would have seen playing for the under 21s. Obviously, he's got a good pedigree. Comes highly recommended. So great to have him in. Another young lad, but Not one of the youngest. He's 23 or whatever. So
will he be your number one, or is it still up for grabs, or is it between him and Mark, or what's up?
I think, you know, when you're starting, you'd never like to say, listen, you're going to be number one, because it sort of kills the other goalkeeper. But
you need a competition.
Yeah, you need competition. And both, you know, Knowles has, you know, done really well since he's been here, and even, you know, he's fit as a fiddle. There's nothing of him. So and still been joining in training the last few days and has been quality. So it's not, you know, I wouldn't like to say Knowles is done and he's finished. He's only going to be a coach. He certainly will be challenging for the number one spot with Liam.
Obviously, you're going to be bringing more signings. Is there any expected this week, or can you can't really tell at this stage, like,
probably not, unless something develops. Possibly there's a couple of things. Obviously, the transfer window in England's only just opened.
Yeah.
People are looking at sending players out on loan. The problem we've got here in Ireland is that if you've got a lad you want to send out on loan from an English club, you don't want to send him on loan to do 6 weeks pre-season because he's in the middle of his season. So if you're getting a loan from England, it tends to be towards the end of the month.
Yeah.
Not ideal for us, but it's just the way the English clubs want to do it. Players will be getting released from English clubs or being told they're getting released, but you know, it might take a little bit of while to get a couple of them over the line. So probably maybe this week, but possibly not. Not giving much away there, am I?
No, not at all.
No, at the moment, I can't say whether one was definitely coming in, but, you know, we're hoping.
How close are you to being happy with the squad, just the size of the squad and the quality of the squad?
I'd say I'm a good bit away from it yet. You know, until I've got probably, I'd say there's four or five players, spaces that are in my mind are up for grabs. And until I have them, then I probably won't be happy. But the way the boys have come back and condition they're in, the way they've been training, I've been really, really happy with the boys that are here. And some of it have surprised me of how well they have done since they've been back. And again, others maybe haven't done as well as what I thought they might have. So I don't think, as a manager, I don't think you're ever happy. I think you're always trying to improve on certain positions. So certainly four or five targets that I'm hoping we'll get in, then I'll be very happy.
Have you decided on a captain yet, or is that something that emerges throughout pre-season?
We've probably spoken about it, but I haven't told the players yet, so
you can't tell me.
No, but I wouldn't have thought it'd be too difficult to guess. But
yeah.
Obviously we lost our last captain, so you know it wouldn't be too difficult to guess. But we haven't told anyone yet.
We'll leave it that there. So has it been hard, like, seeing players, as you mentioned, like, you know, Conor McCormick, the likes of those experienced players leaving the club?
Yeah, I think for Conor McCormick, I tried to keep. I think that, you know, it was just difficult, you know, to keep him. Some of the offers that he had from elsewhere were very hard to compete with. We couldn't do it. So, you know, we were sorry to see him go. The same with Gary Buckley was the same. It was just, I think that Gary probably felt it was his time to go anyway. Yeah. I would have liked for him to stay, but, you know, he decided to move on.
Did you have to have a couple of awkward conversations with players in the close season?
Yeah, it's never nice. It's never nice. You know, some of them were probably surprised and some of them were disappointed. Mm-hmm. Most of them were disappointed because they love playing for City, and it's disappointing that it's a hard part of the job and it's a horrible part of it, but, you know, sometimes it's just necessary. It's a necessary evil and it has to be done.
What's the target for the season?
I think just, for me, it's to finish as high up the league as possible. Surprise a few people. I like the fact that we're going in and nobody's given us a chance. Just from looking at the league last year and playing against teams, I felt that there weren't that many, even though when I came in anyway, we lost a few games. I didn't feel that we were embarrassed in any of them, really. Even when we lost away to Derry, I felt there was just spells in the game where they were better than us, but generally, overall, I didn't see that they were that far ahead of us. So I'm confident enough that we get a good squad together, a good young squad. They'll certainly be fit enough, they'll certainly be organised that we can surprise a few people.
And getting the fans back in the gate is going to be key for that. What's your message to the fans for the season ahead of the season?
The message for the fans is that you're going to have a team that full of players who want to be here, who will do anything to be here. With the lads that are here now, just, you know, appreciate so much what they've got, that they're playing for a team such as City. And in years gone by, they might not have had an opportunity to play for City with the success and with the players that were here. Now they're getting such a great opportunity to play. We'll be attacking, we'll be exciting, we're signing players that are good on the ball, that want to be on the ball. And, you know, I'm just confident that we're going to surprise a few people and the crowd will enjoy what they're seeing.
I suppose the more people through the gate, more money the club gets there from, maybe more money for signings to bring in players.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, we're okay. The club have said to me, listen, let's see where we are again in the summer. So the club is certainly not saying to me, listen, there's no money there for you. It's just, listen, let's just see where we are in the summer and we'll see what we can do. But yeah, like you say, the bigger the crowds, the better it is for everybody. And, you know, my memories of the Cross when I played here was packed houses and exciting games, and I'm hoping that we can bring that back.
Bigger picture stuff as well, obviously the FAI is in turmoil. Has it kind of been a stressful situation, kind of seeing that League of Ireland being part of the football family and all that, but has it kind of been added an extra level of, I suppose, stress, I suppose, in the League of Ireland going into the season?
No, I always feel, I felt that if as a League of Ireland person and being involved in League of Ireland, you felt neglected anyway, you felt out of it anyway. So
that's true.
It certainly wouldn't worry me. That hasn't worried me personally. I think that they'll eventually end up getting bailed out some way or another. And the League of Ireland will be okay because the country needs a League of Ireland, the country needs a national team. And it's certainly not a case where they can cut back any sort of funding or anything to it because they don't do it anyway. So, no, I'm relaxed about it. I think that, you know, it will sort itself out. It's a terrible situation that they've found themselves in the first place, but I feel that, you know, it's too big, it's too important to the country that we don't let it go.
When you hear like Shane Ross just offhandedly say, look, if the FAI goes, the League of Ireland goes as well, it must be disappointing to hear that though.
Yeah, you know, I think that he's just, I don't know him and I don't know that much about it. It just seems like he's playing a little bit of hardball and that he doesn't want to just throw money at the FAI willy-nilly because then whoever, rugby say we're skin, cricket say they're skin, whoever. So I'd imagine that he has to kind of play hardball a little bit. But like I said, it's too important, it's too big to the country not to have an association.
February 14th, your first league game. You'll obviously have a couple of pre-season games before that.
Yeah, the pre-season games are getting organised at the moment. Find it it's a little bit difficult getting pitches and stuff like that this time of year. It's always hard, so I don't think they've actually been confirmed yet. There might be one or two that have been, but yeah, they're penciled in, let's just put it that way. At this stage of the season, you know a little bit more closer to the date, but yeah, there'll be some decent friendlies there.
Excellent stuff, Neil. Thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
Yeah, great chat to Cork City boss Neil Fender on the Big Red Bench as Cork City get back to pre-season. It's probably going to be a season transition, I think, for Salih Tomás. Obviously, the turmoil of last year with Caulfield's departure, then John Cotter's departure, Neil Fender's arrival. A lot of players leaving the club and a lot of players coming in, so it's going to be interesting to see how City kind of, I suppose, adapt to that, I guess, going into the start of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess Neil kind of alluded to expectations there or the lack of expectations. He said, look, you know, there's a lot of doubt around the club and the future of I suppose their performances, particularly towards the top half of the league. So he's confident, though, very confident that we'll surprise people. And he spoke about the brand of football as well, which is important for Cork City fans. So, he's sending out the right messages anyway. But, yeah, look, it's tough times for League of Ireland football and for Cork City. And obviously the budgets, he spoke there, you can't compete with clubs and can't keep players. So very tough.
Yeah, so fingers crossed they'll hit the ground running. But it might be, maybe not a difficult season, but it's definitely going to be a season of transition as Neil kind of wants to get the squad playing the way he wants to play, get more players in over the course of the year. But really looking forward to the Cork City's first game. On Valentine's night of all night, what a romantic night that's going to be down in Turner's Cross. Right, we're going to talk American football now. The Cork Admirals are back in pre-season training and they're on the hunt for new players as well. Head coach Alan Lamassney calling to me yesterday to chat about their upcoming campaign. Right, Alan, you're very welcome back to the Big Red Bench.
Thanks, Rory. Thanks to be for bringing us in. It's always nice to be here with you.
It's always a pleasure having you in. Just get us to speed. Obviously, disappointment last year at the bowl game.
Yeah.
Not to start it off in a double.
Yeah, no. Look, to be honest, we went through the season undefeated. We were preparing well. I think we picked a bad day to have a bad day.
Yeah.
You know, in American football, you can sometimes have a game where just nothing goes right for you. And I think it was just one of those days. And one thing led to another thing, and then you run out of time. And
frustrating, I'd imagine, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Just when you're standing on the sidelines and you can't change it.
Yeah, you know, you're trying to keep guys' heads up, but, you know, as you see the time kind of slipping away and things still aren't working out for you. And, yeah, look, you know, it was just one of those things where we said, look, we put it down to experience. We still had a good season. You know, we scored more points than we did the previous year. We allowed less points. We're really got the head down now to go.
Is it hard for the lads, though, to take the positives from that when you come so close to a perfect season?
It is, because I think, you know, we start in January. The season ended in late July. Mm. So you've put in all of that time in the wet and the muck and with January to March and whatever. And we had such a good season. And I think, you know, the whole country thought, you know, we weren't going to lose that game.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, you try not to be overconfident going into games, but I mean, look, we obviously thought we had a good shot at it as well. Credit to the Panthers, they played, you know, they probably played their best game of the year against us. But I think realistically, we didn't help.
Mm. What's the learnings you took from it all?
I suppose, look, it comes down to the fact that, you know, you can't treat a playoff game any different to treating it any other game. You have to say, right, what week is it? It's just week 11 or week 12 of the season. You know, you can't think that just because you've gone undefeated in the regular season, you're entitled to win a playoff game. Mm. You know, you have to grind, you have to keep working all the time. Mm. So I think, look, I think a lot of the lads, you know, they've got over it. We're focused on moving on now for this year and having a good crack at trying to get that title back again.
Do you switch off in the close season? Are you always thinking of plays and signing plays? And
I don't, because I'm the youth team coach as well.
Yeah.
So we finished in July. We were back with the youths in August. That ran until late October, where the youth team actually won the national title again for the second year in a row.
It's a massive positive.
Yeah, a huge, huge thing altogether, especially when two-thirds of this year's team were new.
Yeah.
And all those guys, so anyone from 15 to 18 is eligible to play for the youth team. They'll be starting back training, actually, again soon, and they have hopefully a game in February. That didn't finish until late October, and we started with the rookie camps before Christmas in November. So
there is no off-season.
Yeah, I think I got 2 weeks after the senior season. I got 2 weeks after, so it's nearly a 12-month thing now at this stage.
Is there going to be lads stepping up from the U team to the senior team for this year?
Yeah, we've three or four guys eligible from the U team now to join the senior team. We had a very good rookie camp before Christmas. Mm. We have another 10 or 12 guys from there. We have a couple of transfers coming in from other teams.
Yeah.
So we've actually got, you know, a good influx of guys for this season now. So it's one of those things where you're always looking to build the squad. And, you know, we're trying to grow the sport in Cork as well, which is what the U team, and we're trying to, you know, put it out that, you know, anybody can play the game. You know, and the size doesn't matter, speed doesn't matter, age in cases doesn't matter, you know, once you're over 18.
Said that for?
Yeah. Well, I was recruiting, Rory, I was recruiting.
The lads stepped up from the U team. It's obviously a big step up, so you obviously have to manage them quite well, do you?
Yeah. The thing with a lot of the U team is what we try and give them is a scaled down version of what we run in the seniors. Mm. So any of the guys in the U team now have a head start on where, when they come into the senior team, because they have run the plays on offense and defense. So it just comes down to a physicality size. Some of them obviously are bigger than others. But to be honest, over the last, this is our third or fourth year now with the U team, all the guys that have come along, they've never had an issue with joining in. We actually have had guys from the U team captain the senior team by the end of the first year.
Yeah.
You know, going into games as captains and stuff like that. So the senior team then will support the U team, because a lot of my senior guys will help with the coaching of the U team.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a good integration of the two there as well. And then when they come in, it's just a matter of obviously we keep an eye on them, and, you know, we'll help build them up slowly. And, and once they get cracking, then they're usually pretty good.
Pre-season getting underway shortly, I believe.
Yeah, we're starting tomorrow. Yeah. Starting back tomorrow. Every Sunday now down in Praise we'll be training. And Tuesday nights we're down in the Bowers on the all-weather pitch. Our first pre-season game will be the start of February against the Eagles from Wexford. Mm-hmm. Always a good physical team, and we get a good, you know, idea where we are. Like, what we normally use the pre-season games for the rookies and the U-team guys to get game time before the regular season starts. So, we're hoping that, you know, by this next 4 weeks now, we'll get those guys up to speed, and then we'll use the guys that are the seniors that are coming back from off-season. They can join in then as well, and we try and, you know, mix and match a bit for that game.
Now, you're always on the lookout for players in every position, but particularly linemen this year.
Yeah, so we're looking essentially for the holy grail of American football players is the offensive lineman. Yeah. The offensive line guy is the fella that, you know, he doesn't always get the credit of scoring touchdowns. No, we do use offensive linemen as running backs every often for short yard and stuff, but they generally don't get the credit of being the guys that score the touchdowns, like the receivers and whatever. But we're looking for the guy that maybe thinks he's too big to play sports, or he's too slow to play sports, because the offensive line are usually, you know, they're, as the team goes, is how the O-line makes them go. They're the guys that will do the run blocking, they're the guys that do the pass blocking, they're the fellas that get physical. You know, so if you can bench press a car, I want to see it.
Yeah.
You know, if you hear the word seconds, you don't look at your watch, you look at food. That's the guy I want.
Yeah.
You know, guys that think, you know, maybe, you know, I'm not in shape to play ball. Like, the linemen don't do laps, they don't do sprints. They have their own particular thing. It's for offensive line, it is going to be short bursts of high intensity is how they play. you know, so you're not going to be running all day long. And lots of guys, I suppose, don't maybe know that. And they think that, oh, look, I'm going to be down there, I'm going to be running the field with it. And they're not. So, you know, if there's anyone out there that wants to give it a shot, come talk to us.
Yeah, that's Alan Masney there of the Cork Admirals. And if you are listening and want to get in touch with them, you can find them on Facebook and on Twitter, or even just go down to training. As Alan said, they're going to be training in the Press Sports Grounds every Sunday and at the Bars All Weather Pitch on Tuesday if you want to give it a go. Would you ever give it a go, Tomás?
It's press a car, so probably leave it off.
You make a handy little running back, I'd say, would you?
I'd probably do all right, but the speed that I once had is gone. And unfortunately, rugby's taken a bit of a toll on my body. So I struggled with the GA, so I don't think I'm going to start taking up NFL at 36 anyway.
You never know. All right, that's pretty much it from us for tonight. Thank you very much indeed for tuning our way. It's been Tomás O'Leary's first weekend on the Big Red Bench. How have you found the experience so far, sir?
Yeah, really, really good. So thanks to your good self, Rory, for... your induction and being very kind and gentle with me. So
that was more nerve wracking, making your Big Red Bench debut or your Ireland debut?
Probably my Ireland debut, to be fair. it's intimidating coming in here, but it's not that intimidating. So definitely the All Ireland debut.
All right, thanks, buddy. We'll chat to you again next weekend. We're out of time. You can get our podcast online, redextra.ie, redfm.ie, and wherever you get your podcasts from. Just search for at Big Red Bench, and you can follow us on Twitter as well at Big Red Bench as well. Our podcast is going to be online shortly. If you missed any of the reaction from Russell Rovers or St. Michael's, our interview with Neil Fenn or Spike O'Sullivan, you can get that on the podcast, which will be online in a couple of minutes' time. Alan Donovan's up next with Green on Red, 3 hours of the best Irish music coming your way right here on Cork's Red FM. We're back next Saturday from 6 p.m. We'll talk to you then, folks, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday night.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.